Those U.S. military tests were designed to measure the damage that nerve gas can cause to monkeys and perhaps humans. But commentator Patrick Wright says that psychological effects of military might are also important, especially in the case of the tank.
The tank was a weird mixture of fact and fantasy from the very start. Its invention was even anticipated by the science fiction writer H.G. Wells. He wrote a story called The Land Ironclads, published in 1903, 14 years before the first tank was engineered, and before Wells himself was invited to the factory to see whether the engineers had got it right. Military historians measured the advance of the tank in the Great War by its battles and engagements, faltering and bogged down in mud at first, but later more successful, as in the mass tank breakthrough at Cambrai in 1917. Yet the tank would also prove highly effective as an idea, and one with great powers of psychological compulsion. Its ability to terrify people on the battlefield was quickly recognized as the moral effect of the new weapon, and tank terror was soon being recorded among German troops, who often reported the sound of tanks grinding forward, even in places where none were in use. The psychological power of the tank has remained part of what makes this weapon so effective, right into the era of peacekeeping, where merely showing a tank on a bridge or street corner is, as we saw in Kosovo, often enough to command the scene. In recent years, it's often been suggested that the age of the tank is coming to a close and that this ponderous 20th century war machine will become redundant as the whole basis of warfare is redefined. Tank designers and manufacturers try to answer this challenge with new state-of-the-art technological innovation. Yet recent events in Afghanistan and Israel suggest that the future of the tank may actually be secured more by its primitive powers of compulsion. You don't need high-tech, state-of-the-art digital technology if your primary purpose is to terrify a less well-equipped enemy or unarmed civilians into submission. H.G. Wells saw the tanks coming at the beginning of the 20th century. Perhaps it was the novelist Don DeLillo who provided the best description of the tank as it ploughed on into the 21st century in his novel Mao II. Seen grinding its way through the cratered streets of Beirut at the head of a carousing wedding party, DeLillo's tank is not a digitized high-tech machine, but rather a scarred and cruddy ancient, an old T-34 that has been sold and stolen 24 times, changing sides and systems and religions. The only markings are graffiti, many years of spritzed paint. It may not be state-of-the-art, but I suspect that phantom machine has got a few miles in it yet.
Patrick Wright is the author of the book Tank: The Progress of a Monstrous War Machine.